hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fall and die to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, and you're walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fort and die to be. This song I'm singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog and dying key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. And you run down my country, man, you walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program. Here on altrighttv.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning. In the European heartland. The ongoing disruption of the Canadian economy continues with a kind of witch's brew of people laboring against us. First of all, there are what I would call renegade Indians, and it would be very unfair to blame the Indians as a group, some Indians. That's the reality. That have been blocking pipelines, blocking railway lines. They were removed from a 17-day blockade that they had imposed on the main CN or Canadian National Railway line that runs east-west along North Ontario and connects the Ontario and the Canadian West to the ports of Montreal and Halifax. That had caused huge disruption. It had, there were over 1,500 railway workers that lost their, had been laid off. Now that was finally removed last Monday. Other rail lines were blockaded. Sometimes they were removed, sometimes they were not. But this ongoing blockade of rail lines, in some cases bridges, in some cases roads, like the road leading to the Port of Vancouver, that's being blockaded. The blockade's being cleared. It's being blockaded again, back and forth, back and forth. We're in a running battle with several forces in this country. One is radical, out-of-control Indians. Now, when I say radical, I mean they do not accept Canadian sovereignty. Well, that's okay. You know, they can believe the earth is flat if they like. But once they start acting upon this, that's got to stop. Joining them in solidarity, or so they say, in solidarity with the traditional, the hereditary chiefs of the Wet'suwet'en tribe. They're the big. This is a big focus. Are a group of anarchists and radical environmentalists who make it quite clear from some of their hashtags and their placards that they simply want to shut Canada down. They want to shut the economy down. Well, in a sane country, that's not allowed. I don't care whether it's a communist country, a dictatorship, a democracy. You simply cannot have people trying to shut the economy down. And what has been done is sabotage. Now, in wartime, saboteurs are taken on a shot. Okay, it's not wartime. But what these people are trying to do is to destroy Canada as we know it. So far, the government has been accommodationist and weak, talking on and on and on about dialogue. Well, the dialogue is fine as long as both sides come to the table with clean hands. The very thought that the government would ever dialogue with Indians who are, and in some cases non-Indians, who are illegally blocking. Railway lines or other forms of transportation shows utter weakness. No discussion until the blockade comes down. Anyway, the government has, I don't think, is really in control. And that's, of course, and that's because they are not fundamentally opposed to some of what's going on. The government is riddled with radical environmentalists who essentially would like us to end the carbon economy, which given present technology is not possible. Diane Francis, who has been a business writer for the Financial Post for several decades, wrote a very powerful piece earlier this week where she said essentially Canada will begin to decline in its standard of living. This past week, Teck, which is a major mining company, announced that it was withdrawing its bid to build a $20 billion, that's with a B, $20 billion mine, or it would be open pit for oil, I believe, up in northern Alberta. Now, it was awaiting final government approval. It would appear that might not be coming from the federal government. This would be a huge boost to the Canadian economy and to the Alberta economy, and this would be fantastic because these would be high-paying jobs. These are not just burger. These are not burger flipping jobs. These are high-paid, skilled jobs, which would allow soak up some of the unemployment in the province of Alberta, probably give jobs to many native people. Just an all-around good thing. Well, the radical environmentalists and the energy industry haters in the federal government had, I think, pretty much let it be known that the approval would not come. So rather than have that humiliation, Tech withdrew. You've got to understand that here was a benefit that would last forever. That would last probably for 20 years or more. This is all, and of course, with a lot of taxes paid and all those things, all that is gone, or at least on permanent hold. And what Diane Francis pointed out is, until there's a change of government, it's quite clear to the world Canada is pathologically anti-development. That there is not the commitment, the willingness on the part of the government to simply say, it's in the national interest. We'll look at, take care of environmental concerns, yes. We'll make sure that if the project involves Native Indians, that they are consulted. That doesn't mean they have a veto, but that they're consulted, their concerns are addressed as much as possible. But we are going to develop. We are going to have these oil projects, these pipelines. It's necessary for the economy. It's in the national interest, and we're serious. It's quite clear that we're not serious. Reviews, prohibitions against tankers in BC coastal waters. One restriction after another. One more review. One more hurdle that has to be passed. And in the end, capital says, looks at this and says, "This is a country of clowns. They're not serious. They're not serious." There isn't a commitment to this. They don't know what they want. And that's the problem with Trudeau. Trudeau is a chronic virtue signaler. Whether he believes or not, I don't know. In this zero carbon future, certainly his pal, a longtime pal, advisor, and eminence grise, Gerald Butts. I'm not making this stuff up. Butts, that's his name. Butts does, they've conspired to try to drag Canada in this direction. Now, of course, they can't do it completely directly. There are other factors at play. But it's quite clear that Canada's leadership is confused. Knows what it wants up to a point. Can't quite shut down the entire oil industry overnight because there go an awful lot of the government's revenues, but that's the direction it wants to go in, business of course hates uncertainty, and that's of course part of the human condition. But to the extent that government can make things more uncertain or unpredictable, it sends the message anyway. That's what we find, there's some very, very interesting statistics and so on out there. There's a poll that was reported in the National Post today, and it's 69% of Canadians think that Canada is broken. Yeah, we look around and see a broken nation. And this was a Dart and Maru Blue poll. You see elite government that simply can't enforce the law, or I shouldn't say can't. Won't enforce the law, or sporadically enforces the law. this past week, you had the disgusting situation of Hamilton police and CN Rail police threatening to arrest, driving off a reporter for the rebel media who was on the railway in the railway property, trying to interview protesters, masked, of course, who were blocking the rail lines leading from Hamilton, Ontario to Toronto. He's trying to find out, well, what are you here for? Well, they couldn't really articulate it. Isn't it funny? People are prepared to put on a mask, block a railway line, but they can't actually explain to you or to the media what they're there for. Anyway, he was trying to do his job, and he was accosted by the police. And I played this recording of the incident, his report, 2 days ago, and it was a disgrace. Not for him, disgrace on the part of the police. They should have been removing those people blocking an important railway line, and they didn't. And it was he they went after. It was he they went after. And when he tried to challenge them, they put on the usual cock swagger and threatened him with arrest. And he said, "But what about these people? We're investigating." Now, talk about bull. Talk about absolute bullshit. Investigate. There's nothing to investigate. They're blocking the railway lines. It's not a matter of seeing, well, are they blocking the line, or are they just standing around, or do they intend? No, they physically block the railway line. Well, what's there to investigate? You enforce the law. There's an injunction, incidentally. There's actually two levels of law. First of all, it's a federal law. You don't have the right to obstruct a railway line. It's a federal and a serious offense. Secondly, as if there had to be a reminder here, the railway had gotten an injunction whereby a judge had said that anybody who is obstructing the railway, cease and desist obstructing the railway line. So it's not as though the police didn't have any mandate. They didn't have any balls. Or, let's say their political masters didn't have any balls, which amounts to the same thing. Useless. They attack and threaten a reporter who isn't obstructing the railway lines. He is on railway property, but he's not obstructing the rail lines. Meanwhile, they are investigating the goons that are obstructing. It becomes clear that the leadership of this country has lost it when you cannot guarantee basic law and order. When here and there, not everywhere, but here and there, the illegals, the thugs, the out of control Indians, the crazed radical environmentalists rule. They break the law and nothing happens. Then it's clear that this country is in danger of coming apart. So I'm not surprised by the results of the poll. 69% say the country's broken. There's some other questions, though. Is Canada headed in the right direction? 59% say no. Is Prime Minister Trudeau, the trust fund kid, is he governing well? 63% say no. And then there were some other, how well do you think the following have handled the disruptions? The railway companies, 67% feel they've done the best they can. The RCMP, 55%, because in some places the RCMP have enforced the law, in other cases they haven't. And various other people other choices are offered. For any group that blocks rail service, Should there be swift consequences? 69% say yes, there should be. This is just not negotiable. You cannot block key transportation routes. I'm actually disappointed the numbers aren't higher. Well, here is what I call a boo-hoo-hoo piece of fake news. It is fake news. I mean, this is made-up stuff. Indigenous people face racist backlash over protests. Oh, ho, ho. This is a made-up story by Joe Friesen in the Globe and Mail. Gina Smoke, and she's a woman, was in, not a cigarette, was in Calgary Airport last week when she overheard three men discussing supporters of the Wet'suwet'en protest who had slowed rail traffic across Canada. No, they hadn't slowed it. They'd stopped it illegally. See the way this is written with a slant? Miss Smoke, an indigenous, gives her a job, said the word trains caught her attention. The men were talking about plowing down the indigenous people with the trains. Well, oh, she was just devastated. The men who were sitting in an airport lounge laughed. Ms. Smoke said she looked at them. She felt sick. She said, they think it's okay to talk about killing us, hurting us, running us over, shooting us. It's outrageous what's happening. Well, wait a second. To be fair, as I initially reported, the men were talking about shooting Indians. They were talking about perhaps the train should run over anybody who is illegally blocking the railway lines. It's hard line, I guess, but at what point can you let these people shut the country down doing something illegally? You would think from this boo-hoo-hoo that the men in the airport lounge, perhaps encouraged by a drink or two, were talking about just going out and willy-nilly murdering Native people. That's not the case. I'm not necessarily saying I think what they were saying was the best thing, but there's a high level of frustration. Across the country, Indigenous people are reporting incidents of racism linked to the dispute over the Coastal GasLink pipeline and the associated demonstrations that stopped railway traffic. Now, you wonder, okay, are facing incidents of racism. You mean that people notice and say that Indians, and I think they people have to be fair now here, some Indians, radical Indians, because actually the tribe through which over which this issue has arisen, the elected chiefs of the tribe have approved this railway, this gas pipeline, and they will share very substantially in economic benefits and what you might call transportation rents associated with it. So it's some Indians. What we have here is the sort of fake news propaganda. And I want to continue reading the article because it just illustrates the level of propaganda. Okay. Uh,
across the country, so they're complaining. Tensions have led to death threats and confrontations and contributed to a sense of unease for many, whether they are connected to the protests or not. These would be many Indians. Well, yeah, when some of your group are costing people their livelihood, leading to shortages, having factories cut back production because they can't get the parts they need or because they can't get the production they already completed to market. Yeah, tensions run high. And you know, your people cause controversy, or to be fair, some of their people cause controversy. Yeah, there's going to be some upset. Do you blame them? Evan Balgord, executive director of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, said far-right activity targeting Indigenous activists and their allies has surged in recent weeks. Well, you've got to understand, these are violent, viciously anti-free speech group, the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. Far-right activity has targeted Indigenous activists and their allies, and rightly so. And not just far, whatever far-right means. A lot of people are very rightfully upset at seeing the law ignored, in many cases the police refusing to enforce the law, and the politicians refusing to order the police to enforce the law. This is Evan Balgord, the anti-free speech guy. He said the far right seizes on moments like this to sow division and push its radicalizing messages on the social media. Sow division? No. I'm an outspoken opponent of what's been happening. Not try to sow division. It's the people who break the law and get away with it who are sowing division. This apparently is Evan Balgord, the anti-free speech spokesman. Some are calling for vigilante action, such as patrols on railway lines, while others harass and threaten demonstrators and their supporters online. You know, harass it, you mean, have an opinion. And yes, if the police will not protect the railway lines, maybe civilians will have to set up patrols. This, of course, is a failure of government. People associated with the Wet'suwet'en and the Mohawks of Tayendanega who protested at a main railway line in eastern Ontario received a bomb threat from an anonymous email account recently, Mr. Balgord said. The account has since been suspended. Well, it's hard to know whether that's true or not. But wait a sec. Look at the way they're described. People associated with these two Indian groups who protested at a main railway line in eastern Ontario. No, they didn't protest. They blocked it for 17 days. There's a big difference. A protest would be a peaceful parade back and forth with signs or banners or flags or placards or leaflets outside a government building or near a railway track even. But that's completely different from walking the railway track. Erica Violet Lee, a Cree graduate student at the University of Toronto, was home in Saskatoon and took part in a demonstration last week. She was among a group that gathered near a railway line and forced trains to slow down as they passed through the city. This is a little bit mushy. It sounds as if they were partially blocking the line. She and First Nations group were confronted by counter-protesters, some of whom shouted racial slurs and encouraged the protesters to step into the path of trains. People are angry. And don't people with a different point of view have a right to counter-protest? Now, we're not told. I was loving when they tell us that uh, they call it racial slurs. I'd really have to to know what was said. Don't characterize it for me. Why don't I just quote it? I mean, was it really a racial slur? What about you damned Indians? Is that a racial slur? But they are Indians. This is why I call this fake news. And it is fake news. And I'm going to read a little bit further in this. And just point that out to you. Even further. So she was upset. She was upset that somebody disagreed with them. The protest camp was mostly associated by young people, populated by young people, some of whom were intimidated. Ms. Lee said organizers eventually shut down the camp because they were concerned about safety. Well, okay, but did anybody beat them up? No. We told everyone not to engage them, that's the counter-protesters. But it's really hard when somebody is standing right in front of you trying to get into your face. They were calling us racial slurs and saying that we were dumb and didn't know what we were doing. Well, that's a perfectly valid accusation that they don't know what they're doing. They're in solidarity with a tiny minority of the Wet'suwet'en tribe. The hereditary chiefs. The elected officials are for the pipeline. While she was dismayed, Miss Lee and Miss Smoke said the atmosphere reminds them of the aftermath of the acquittal of Gerald Stanley in 2018 and the slaying of Colton Bushy, a Cree who was then shot dead on Mr. Stanley's farm in rural Saskatchewan. The jury verdict shocked many people and sparked demonstrations. Yes, the people were upset that Gerald Stanley, a white man, shot and killed accidentally, he said, and it's a long story, but I believe that's true, this native Colton Bushy, who along with several other people, had driven onto this man's land, appeared to had tried to steal a vehicle, had intimidated the man's wife. He brought out a gun to try to restore order on his own property. It isn't the way it you might conclude from this that this Gerald Stanley went hunting Indians. It was nothing like that. But anyway, the Indians were not very happy with the verdict. And this is what I find, you know, so very typical of the fake news media. A little bit further in the article, in Sault Ste. Marie, a local news outlet said it would no longer allow comments on stories related to Indigenous, that's Indian, issues, because the discussions were too often hurtful, hateful, and racist. And that's censorship. This is true of the fake propagandistic news media. They put out a story in the last decade or so online. You might be able to make your comments at the end of the story. And others can read your comments and so on. The comments are hurtful. They're racist, whatever that means. Again, we're not given an example of why not? Isn't that part of a discussion? There must be nothing hurtful. Well, wait a sec. Almost anything can be hurtful. I certainly find the behavior, not the words, the behavior of radical Indians, environmental crazies, and anarchists. Hurtful. Upsetting and hurtful. The media is trying to manage the news. It's actually trying to manufacture a message. Mr. Valgord, okay, back to the anti-free speech, Evan Valgord of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. Now that's the Canadian Anti-White Network. Valgord said he's concerned about the potential for violence arising out of this moment. The tone and timbre of these threats, their widespread nature, the fact that it's leading to real-life activity, that's pretty serious. Okay, what violence has occurred from people who are opposed to these illegal blockades? None. No violence. This is another fraudulent posture of the anti-racists. Oh, there could be violence, and it's all because of people who are against what's happening, against these blockades. And they're racists. You see, opposition to their agenda becomes racist, and that could lead to violence. So that's the false news narrative. And that was similar to what was said about a week ago when Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Conservative Party, called on Justin Trudeau, the trust fund kid, to enforce the law and to get the police to take down the barricades and arrest people who resist. Now, all he was asking for was that the law be respected. The turban guy, that's the leader of the NDP, the New Democratic Party, the Socialist Party, Jagmeet Singh, said that the remarks were unacceptable and racist. I'm sorry, divisive and racist. So it's racist to say that the law to be enforced. Well, that's one of the reasons that 69% of Canadians, I think, are beginning to consider that, at least under the present administration, this is a broken country. You know, and I've read you all but a couple of paragraphs of the story, and they're really irrelevant to the point. What this fake news story, Indigenous People Face Racist Backlash Over Protests, by one Joe Friesen in today's Globe and Mail. Well, what it fails to do, of course, is to provide any balance. Doesn't actually talk to anybody who is opposed to these protests. There have been all sorts of people online, myself included. There have been people who have organized an effort to take down a blockade that was outside of Edmonton, Alberta. The people who did that were oil workers who, in pickup trucks, they succeeded. They didn't wear masks. Did the reporter attempt to get, in any sense, the other side of the story? No, this is a propaganda piece. This is what Donald Trump calls fake news. It's not even clear that there's a story here. There's been strong opposition, vocal opposition, to what the radical Indians and the crazed and the environmentalists are doing. Yes, that's true. The two Indian two Indians who were interviewed, and Valgord, who's not an Indian, claim that this is racist. Well, there are threats and there might be violence. A balanced story would try to get talk to some of the people who are being defamed here. Talk to some of the people who
admit that, well, yes, I was a counter-protester. Or yes, I post material on the social media in strong opposition to these illegal activities. And here's my point of view. But no. And so this is what you would call a boo-hoo-hoo puff piece. We're supposed to feel very, very sorry for these poor Indians who are just out there protesting. Some of these protests are not exactly just protests. They're disruptions. They're an attempt to illegally, and this is kind of important, illegally shut down the economy to try to make some sort of point. Anyway, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the Fighting Side. Let me go ahead and take a bit of a musical break right now. Well, we kind of switch countries have some good German drinking songs. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me. Thank you.
Thank you. is Paul Cronk. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow. Until then, I'm signing off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Cronk, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, would the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield and never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.